Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm always not sure about how long it's going to take me to go through. I talk kind of fast, but sometimes I have a lot of information. Hopefully I won't be. I heard this, I think it was last week. The speaker went a little long at a church, a chapel one day. And about when he was almost finishing up, a little boy got up and walked out before he was finished, and the preacher was offended and said, "Wait, where are you going? Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to get a haircut." And he said, "Well, why didn't you get your haircut before you came in?" He said, "I didn't need one when I came in." So hopefully that won't be the case this morning. We're thinking about... As Brother Steve was saying, starting up another Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. We went through, I've been calling him and talked to him. It's been 3 years ago since we went through that. And it was a blessing to me, I know, and I think to several of the others that were there. So I encourage you to pray and think about that course. And any of the ones that went through it last time, you're welcome to come through it again. You have a lifetime membership for that. As we've been thinking about that, the Lord is directed to my heart again about what He thinks about money and His Word. And some people think, well, I don't want to come to church and hear about money. And one thing that I was found out in my study is that Jesus spoke on money throughout in the Scripture that is recorded 15% of the time. More than His teachings, even on heaven and hell. And I think all of us agree how important heaven and hell, that we're so thankful that we know about that, that God didn't leave us in the dark, but He loved us and sent His Son for us so that we could go to heaven and be with Him. So it is an important topic. So I want to go through on a certain aspect of what God teaches us about money. I think it's important to know that God uses how we handle money as sort of a gauge for our love for Him, how we handle that as stewards. So I think it's an important topic. I spoke on this before in a small part of it. And so hopefully I know that I needed the reminder. Some of y'all that have heard it before maybe need a reminder as well as I did. Okay, the first, if you would, turn to Job 41:11. The first thing we're going to see here, and most of this is going to be things that you already know, just a reminder, is that God owns everything. That's the first thing we've got to get through to ourselves, is remind ourselves that God owns everything. So I'm going to be going through, and you may not be able to keep up, because there's a lot of verses here. So if you can just maybe get the general idea, and when there's maybe a long section, you can turn to it. But starting with Job 41:11, trying to get through the point that the Bible's making about God owns it all. Job 41:11, God speaking, "Who has first given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine." God is sharing with us here that He owns it all. He created all. He owns it all. Psalm 24:1, a psalm of David. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." So we see here that everything that's in the world and even ourselves, we belong to the Lord. He created us. He established the seas. Psalms 50:10, a familiar verse. "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills." So it's basically all His. He owns it all. Haggai 2:8, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." So we see in these few scriptures here that God is teaching us that He owns it. It's all His. He created it. He doesn't need us or need our things. He's loaned them to us, and we're just giving back to Him because of our love. I was thinking this morning in worship that probably I could sit down after this, trying to get this message across, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave. And we are to be like Him. For God so loved that He gave the best of heaven, the best that He could give. He gave it all for us. And then I tried to put myself in that because I'm supposed to try to be like Christ. For Todd loved, what did he give back because of his love for the Lord? So that's what I'm trying to remind myself, is not because giving and doing things gets me to heaven, but because of what he's done for me, giving his son, I love him and I should have a heart of giving. He's a giver. God is a giver, and He wants us to be givers. Okay, so first thing that we learn or remind ourselves, God owns everything. Second, we don't own anything. We are just God's stewards. Deuteronomy 8:17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So I think a lot of times we start thinking, well, this is mine because I work for it. I work so hard. I went to school. I get up early in the morning at 5 o'clock. I go to work, whatever the case is, that it's my money. But we have to remember that it's God who gave us the power to get up, that gave us our mind, that gave us just our next breath. So even though that we get up and we do work for it, all of that strength and that power comes from the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:10. If you'll turn to this one, this is a longer section. 1 Chronicles 29:10. We remember and we've talked about David was a man after God's own heart. And we can see a picture of that here. He was raising money. They were raising money to build God's temple. And God wasn't going to allow him to do it because so much bloodshed was on his hand. It was going to be to his son Solomon, but he was part of raising the funds for it. This is what he had to say, 1 Chronicles 29:10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. Our Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. So David recognized, he didn't say, well, look at all this. Look at all this I raised. And look at me. Look at David. Look what I've done. He had the proper perspective that he knew that all of that came from God. He gave God the honor and glory and said, we're just giving back to you what you've already given to us. And he had a love and showed the people there that it wasn't through what they were doing, but it's through God giving to them. They're just freely giving it back. You'll turn to Matthew 25. This is a familiar story about the man giving the talents out. The man in charge giving the talents out to his servants. While you're turning there, this is just a little aside. I've been reading a book about a football coach up in Baltimore. And they are trying to teach teenagers to learn how to be men of service, going out and serving others. And one of the things that they say, they use this scripture here to kind of teach the boys. It's not a direct thing from the scriptures, but they kind of use it for this, is that they say this one boy over here, this running back, he might have 5 talents. This tackle over here may have 2 talents. And this one on the offensive line or over here, I'm not too good on football, but he has 1 talent. So they're, what the coaches were saying, bring all your talents. Don't leave any at home. Bring all your talents. Even though this one has more, don't be jealous of him that he has more. But give, if the 2 you've got, give 100%. The 1 you've got, give 100%. So we'll see here in this story, we can relate it on a more spiritual thing. But Matthew 25:14, for be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with him, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had 2 talents. He that had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Now a talent here, just to break in here, was a large sum of money. About 16 years' wages. So this is a large sum of money, but in comparison to what he's going to get spiritually in heaven, it's a small amount, small amount. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I shall have received that was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he who has an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see here that the one that was given 5 talents, this is directly is talking about money. You can, I guess, expand it to talking about the gift, spiritual gifts the Lord's given you. But today we're focusing on the money part. Is that he was given this amount of money, and the one with 5 talents went and invested it. He did something with it and got 5 more talents, 100% increased. And the master said, well done, a good and faithful servant. The one with 2 didn't have as much. So instead of him looking at the one with 5 and complaining, well, I'm not as good, I didn't get as much as that one, so I'm just going to pout or not do anything, I'm jealous of this other one that has more. No, he went out and did with what he had, what he was given, and he also got 100%. So he got the same commendation, well done, good and faithful servant. Because with what he had, he did what the Lord wanted him to. He invested it. The one with 1, and I believe here, I think I've seen people interpret this in different ways, but the way that makes the most sense to me is that he didn't really know his master. Because he called him a hard man. He didn't know that he was loving. And because that he didn't really know him and didn't really love him, he just sat on the talent that he had and did not invest it. So I think the thing we can learn here is whatever talent, whatever money we've been given, whatever talent we've been given, then we need to use it for the Lord because we love him. No matter if we got a lot or little, invest that into his kingdom to the best of our ability with his help. Okay, next, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here we are being reminded that we're not our own, that we belong to the Lord. He's bought us with the blood of His Son. We belong to Him. Therefore, if we belong to Him, we should be about our Father's business, doing what He would have us to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of others, be reconciled to God. I read a good story about this. As an ambassador is someone who goes from another country, like the United Nations in New York City. You have a lot of ambassadors there that live in New York City, but their home residence or country of residence is somewhere else. And there was this story, I think this was a separate story, but there was this guy from France, and he was in the United States. And they said, you can't bring anything back with you from the United States. You can send money that you make here, invest here, and you can send it back to France. But if you buy a bunch of stuff, you can't take it back with you. And the parallel to that was that we are not in our permanent home. We're just here on earth as ambassadors, sojourners, and we cannot take anything with us to our permanent home in heaven, but we can send things ahead. And the way we do that is by investing in His kingdom with our money, with our talents, sharing the gospel, praying for others. We can send that ahead, but we can't take our stuff that we buy here with us. So how made me think of how ridiculous that is that we store up things here and buy a lot of stuff here, and then we're going to have to leave it here. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. Okay, the next one is, I'm leading into that, foolishness of storing up treasures on the earth. Job 1:21. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know the story of Job, the richest man we think of at that time, had so much material blessings, children, things like that, and he lost everything, basically everything, except for his wife. His wife did not encourage him. She told him to curse God and die. But he had the understanding that it didn't belong to him. He understood that the Lord gave it to him. The Lord took it back away. Who are we to say who the Lord should give to, when He should take it away? He shouldn't have took that away from us. It belongs to Him. He knows what's best. Job had that understanding. Ecclesiastes, we know that Solomon also was probably, pretty surely, the richest man of his time, and had everything, had all kinds of money, everything you could think of. And we see in Ecclesiastes his realization in 5:10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Swift is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. So we see here riches can hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. So we see here again Solomon, the wisest man on earth, the richest man at that time. After all was through, he looked back over his life. He said, the riches, that's just vanity. That doesn't bring the right relationship with God. It's better to give it away, help others get to know God than hoard it for ourselves. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Jesus said, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what should I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We see in this story that the man had a lot and he got more. Instead of sharing that with others and giving it back to God, he hoarded it for himself, tore down his old barns, built bigger ones, and just got more and more and more. And he said, I'm going to rest and relax now. But God called him that night and said, no, I'm going to call for your soul tonight. And he wasn't prepared. So that's the same way it can be for us if we store up our treasures here on earth and we're not rich toward God. If we are not saved, then that's the natural bent that we have, that we're going to just store up stuff for ourselves. If we're saved, we still have that in us. We have to ask God to help us to let go of the things of the world and be rich toward God, give to Him, focus on Him instead of the things on the earth. And that's a prayer that I have for myself, that I'll get my eyes off of the world and get my eyes more on Christ and give to Him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. Be content with such as you have. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. So we see it all throughout Scripture that we didn't bring anything in, we're not going to be able to take it out. So our hands shouldn't be clenched up. This is mine. No, it's the Lord's. Let Him use it how He sees fit. Have an open hand. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Everything we see, except for each other, God's Word, except for those things, is going to be burned up. Everything else is going to be gone. So why do we spend so much time focusing on material things that we can get for ourselves instead of focusing on God and on others? A story that I read, and I got some of my information here. It's a good study. I don't agree with everything, but a lot of it. The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And he has a story in here that I just want to try to put what the God is saying into, like Jerry was saying, what would that look like? And I think this kind of shows us what it looks like. Take a ride with me to an isolated place. After a few miles, we turn off the road, pass through a gate, and fall in line behind some pickup trucks. They are filled with computers, stereo systems, furniture, appliances, fishing gear, and toys. Higher and higher we climb until we reach a parking lot. There the drivers unload their cargo. Curious, you watch a man hoist a computer. He staggers to the corner of the lot, then hurls his computer over the edge. Now you've got to find out what's happening. You scramble out of the car and peer over the edge. At the bottom of the cliff is a giant pit filled with stuff. Finally, you understand this is a landfill, a junkyard, the final resting place for the things in our lives. Sooner or later, everything we own ends up here. Cars, boats, hot tubs, clothes, stereos, barbecue grills, Christmas and birthday presents, the treasures that children quarreled about, friendships were lost over, honesty was sacrificed for, and marriages broke up over, all end up here. So that kind of hit home to me, is that the stuff here is all going to be thrown into a pit, into a landfill, and then after that it's going to be burned up. So our focus, of course, should not be on our stuff. The focus should be on the Lord and giving back to Him. Okay, so instead of storing up our treasures here on earth, the next thing we're going to look up is storing up treasure in heaven, where we should be storing our our treasures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, storing up treasure in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. This past week, it just come to me. My mom and dad live over on the Ironworks Road across the street over there. They had a break-in, and they took, I think it was four or five guns and maybe a gas grill, things like that, was stolen, taken away from them. And so that can happen. I'm sure some of y'all have had that, thieves break in and steal. But lay up for your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. We don't have to worry about anybody breaking in there. Nobody's going to come in and break in heaven and take something from the Lord. He's got it in His hand. Nothing can be taken out. We can't be taken away from Him. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I know y'all have heard this before. If you want to see where your heart is, you can look in your check register. Mr. Steve was talking about reconciling his checkbook this morning. We can go through there and look. Also this time of year, April 15th, getting your taxes ready. You go back through what you've done during the year. You can kind of look and see, where have I been putting my money? Jesus is saying here, where your treasure is, there's your heart. And that one is an eye-opener as well, seeing where you're placing your money. You can also think, I know also it's not all money. You can think about, where am I placing my time, my talents? Where am I looking back over? I think it's good to reflect sometimes on how we're spending our money, how we're spending our time, and then letting the Holy Spirit convict us of that and making a turnaround and doing what God wants us to do instead of having a selfish heart. Matthew 10:42 says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." So giving a cup of water in the name of Christ, that will get your reward. You're not going to lose it. It's not going to be burned up. It's not going to be, if you're doing it with the right motive, it's not going to be burned up. It's not going to rust. It's not going to be stolen. You will not lose that reward. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, a lot of people use this as a prosperity gospel, is if you give to the Lord, then He's going to give more back to you, just in a financial sense. And that may or may not be true. I think a lot of times it's going to be more in a spiritual way. He's going to give back to you spiritually and also in heaven. And the problem that we have is that sometimes we're so focused on what we can see, we can't get out of what we see around us, the stuff, and get to the point where our rewards are going to be in heaven, that we're going to put off maybe some rewards here, of which are really not rewards, pleasure, things that may give us a fleeting moment of pleasure, but put them off for lasting rewards. And that's the key, I think, is remembering that our true home is in heaven, not here. Luke 14:13 says, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Again, he's saying, give to somebody that can't give back. If you give always to someone that's wealthy, and you're thinking, well, they're going to give something back, they might even give more. This is a wealthy person, I'm going to go over and take care of them. Maybe, I hate to even think like this, but maybe they're on their deathbed and you go over and you help them, hoping that they'll give you their inheritance, something like that. That's not giving out of the right motive and doing what God wants us to do. Give to somebody that can't pay you back. That's when you can tell it's done with the right motive. I'm giving because God instructs me to. I love them, not for anything in return. And then when you're doing it for no reward, that's when you get your reward. It's kind of works backwards. If you do it for just for the love of Christ, love of God, then He's going to reward you. If you're doing it for yourself, then it's going to be burned up. Acts 20:35 In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We know that we have a God that's a giving God. We talked about it this morning and I opened up kind of with it. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the best that he had. Jesus gave his life for me. We sang this morning, he gave himself for me. And if we believe in Christ, we trust in Christ, and we're to be like him, that's the type of heart we should have. A giving heart, one that's looking around for needs and giving to people, giving back to the Lord, giving to others. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. The principle here is that if you give to the Lord with the right motive, he's going to reward you. It's not that you're looking for the reward at first. You're giving it out of a pure heart, out of love. Then that's when you get the reward. Hebrews 11:3. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's what we got to realize. We're strangers here. This is not our home. Our home's in heaven. Hebrews 11:16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He's prepared a much better city, a much better home than we can build for ourselves, even if we have the biggest mansion in the world. It's going to be nothing compared to being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just going to be like a speck of sand to the whole universe. If we can just get out of what we see with our eyes and have faith in what God's going to have for us. Hebrews 11:26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses was the second in command in Egypt, had everything he could think of. He left that to give his life to the Lord. Even though he made some mistakes, he gave his life to the Lord and took the people. God used him to take the people out of Egypt. He gave up the riches of this world for riches of heaven. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. That's what he's got ahead for us, an inheritance that is imperishable. It's not going to be burnt up. It's not going to rust away. Not going to be stolen. Undefiled. It's pure. It's nothing that taints it. Unfading. It's not going to fade away. It's going to get. It's going to be as bright as we can think of, and it's kept in heaven for us. It's kept in heaven. Those are the places that we need our rewards, not here, but in heaven. A quote from Jim Elliot, the one that basically gave all he could give. He gave his life to try to bring other people to Christ. When he thought about this thing about money and goods, this is what he came up with. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He was under the understanding that it's smart business to give away the things here on earth, to store up rewards in heaven, to give to the Lord. That's really the smart business deal, is to, even though we're not doing it for the reward, that really makes more sense, that we're living for the Lord, giving our money away so we can see others come to know Christ, giving our talents away so that others can come to Christ. That won't be taken away. Someone that's saved because of something that the Lord used you through giving money to, that will not be taken away. Things here, cars, trucks, boats, houses, that's all going to be burnt up, taken away. Okay, some examples from the Bible of those who understood the giving principle.
I'll just read one of these for sake of time. Let's see. Exodus 36, 4 through 7. These are examples of one who understood this principle of giving away things here on earth, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each of them for the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave a command and word and proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing for giving, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. God owns it all. If we would just be channels of giving, He has more than enough if we will just open our hands and give it out. Imagine someone having to say, "Stop bringing money in. We've got enough. We've got too much. Don't bring any more in." It's sad to say that's not the problem that we have in Christendom total. There was a thing that I was reading as I was studying this that I think the average professing believer was given 3% of their salary to the Lord. I don't have time to get there, but even though the tithe is not taught in the New Testament as a command, in the Old Testament, when they were told to bring the tithe, I want us to think about a poor Israelite that didn't have much of anything. They were required to give that 10%. And then today, the way that we live in the lap of luxury, have so much wealth, and sometimes we don't think we can afford to give. And I know that convicted me that we give not because we're compelled to, but out of love. We're compelled by love, not because of a law or a rule, but out of love we are to give. If we really understand how much we've been given and how much love has been shown to us, then that's when we start giving freely. We'll start giving and helping God, helping others. Okay, I want to just, some of y'all probably heard this song. I just want to close with this, reading this song. I'm sorry that I can't sing it, but y'all, I'm sure, will be thankful that I don't try that. It says, to close up, to try to put everything together. This is a song by Ray Bolts, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." "I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, 'Friend, you may not know me now.' And then he said, 'But wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day you said that prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave.' Then another man stood before you. He said, 'Remember the time a missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm in heaven today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave.' One by one they came, far as the eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices that you had made, they were unnoticed on this earth, in heaven now proclaimed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, 'My child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. I'm so glad you gave.'" Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you showed us how to give. You gave us the best of heaven, your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We thank you that you're a giving God. You gave us life, breath. You gave us a chance to have a relationship with you forever if we'll just accept that free gift. We thank you for giving us also material things that you've loaned to us. We're your stewards. Help us to have open hands, open hearts to give to others as we can see. We don't know what difference it will make, but someone gave time to me so that I could be saved, and I'm thankful for that. And I just pray that you'll help us to have a heart that's given, that will see the needs of others and be willing to release our hands, a grip that we have on stuff, and give things so that we can lay up treasures in heaven. We thank you now for this food. We thank you for giving us this nourishment. We thank you for the ladies that you have given to this chapel that give of their time and their talents on fixing food for us. We thank you for them. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. And we just ask that you will go with us and help us not to remember, help us not to forget what you've taught us, but help us to be given and loving to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.